Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I am great. I am, well, my show went off the air and I had to drop my pants for food, but other than that, I'm doing great. Luckily, I didn't have someone trying to give away for free.
Drop your pants for food? I thought that was just like Monday.
Well, you know, it became an all-week thing once I lost my job.
Ooh, hard times. Hard times, Daddy. Hey guys, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. Patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. If you think our show is worth supporting, worth donating to, please go there, and donate to the show for only $2 a month. You can have access to all of our bonus content, including our most recent bonus episode about The Simpsons Tapped Out mobile game, including that was with one of our patrons, Holly, who donated it at the level. To be in a bonus episode with us. And as of time of recording, we are $8 away, a measly $8 away from a weekly written post by me. You'll make me do more work. And honestly,
that's true. He would hate that, so you should make him do it.
I would hate it, so you guys can. I'm just going to do it because I was meaning to add a goal for it, but as soon as I can get one of the old Simpsons games running on an emulator or something, I've been having trouble with the audio issues. So as soon as I get that working, I will record a Let's Play of an old Simpsons game and throw it up there. We have a couple new patrons to thank, Matt. First off, we have Andrew. Did not include his last name. He is like Prince in that way, or Madonna. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
And then we also have Christopher McGinty. Thank you, Christopher.
Aye, Christopher, thank you.
That's not bad, Matt, honestly. And last episode, we thanked Elisa. She messaged me to tell us that the correct pronunciation of her last name is Lovock. Lovock. Or if I might still be doing it wrong. Lovock. Lovock. I'm trying to.
That's probably true.
I'm trying.
Pronunciations are not your friend.
It's hard. Talking is. Before we get started, you can also please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or if you listen to us. It really helps us out. If you don't know what to say, give us 5 stars and say, this is the best Simpsons podcast that has a guy named Matt and Robbie in it.
And it'll be true, too.
Yeah, absolutely. On to this week's episode, the last episode of Season 4, it is time for Krusty Gets Cancelled, Episode 9F19, originally aired May 13th, 1993, written by John Swartzwelder, the most prolific Simpsons writer, directed by David Silverman, finished 24th in the ratings for that week, Nielsen rating of 12.3, approximately 11.5 million viewing households, highest rated show on Fox that week, beating Married with Children.
Woo! Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knew an animated family could whoop up so badly on a poor, dejected old man and his crazy family?
I'm not going to get into it. Chalkboard gag. I will not charge admission to the bathroom. That's honestly a good racket if you can do it.
That's true. I mean, they do it in Europe all the time and make good money.
Yeah, bathrooms. People have to use the bathroom. It is a necessity. So any way you could charge for necessities, suggest it. The couch gag. There's a net trap. Family runs into a net trap. I believe we've seen this one already this season.
Probably, but it's still really funny.
It's not bad. Tons of guest stars for this episode. Of course, this is kind of the episode famous for that. I think I believe the inspiration was for Homer the Bat, but with celebrities, not baseball players. And they succeeded. They had Johnny Carson, Hugh Hefner, Bette Midler, Luke Perry, Elizabeth Taylor, all four members of Red Hot Chili Peppers at the time, and Barry White. Both Barry White and Elizabeth Taylor had appeared earlier in the season, and I believe they just recorded the lines for both episodes at the same time. But they're both in this episode as well.
That's awful smart of them. It's like they're planning ahead or something.
Yeah, it's interesting to note. See, of those members, Johnny Carson, Elizabeth Taylor, and Barry White have all passed. It makes you, like, when you think about it, like, wow, that's a long time ago. 22 years ago.
That's true. Especially Johnny Carson. He was a great man. I wish I could have, you know, been paying attention to entertainment when he was, you know, still working.
I wouldn't call him a great entertainer.
Okay, sorry, great entertainer.
Man from what I've heard about his behavior behind the scenes. But he was a great entertainer, and this episode certainly reinforces that. The episode begins with Springfield Squares on television. What is the name of the show that does this?
Hollywood Squares?
Hollywood Squares, yeah, of course. It's a clear parody of that, and I have a little nice, a funny tidbit about this that I found in the news group, but you have to wait for that segment for me to disclose. But we see, let's see, Rainer Wolfcastle, Lurley Lumpkin. This is where we see Barry White, Troy McClure, Princess Cashmere, all the, I guess, these are the Springfield celebrities with Kent Brockman is hosting. So he's a news anchor and a game show host.
Well, he's on TV, so it's the cheap network. They just have him do whatever.
But we see a tidal wave tsunami come and, I guess it's a tidal wave because it's America, comes and takes out old poor Charlie Weaver, who's in the bottom.
Well, he's had that square for 30 seasons. He's not about to leave now. He'd rather die.
Well, that is what happened. And right after Springfield Squares goes to commercial break, we get this appearing on TV.
Gabble!
Did you see that?
Yeah.
What's Gabbo?
I figure it's some guy's name. Some guy named Gabbo.
And
wow, Homer, that's not stating the obvious.
And Gabbo fever, as it is called. I believe they even use that word, right? Gabbo fever has arrived in Springfield, and that is kind of, this episode, if it's about anything, it is kind of about the fickleness of Springfield and people in general.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be correct. People are very fickle, especially with their entertainment.
There's a bunch of hype, the newspaper, the TV, let's see, Mr. Burns is excited, even though he doesn't...
Gabbo is coming.
We get Reverend Lovejoy preaching against Gabbo. You know, it's all...
Well, you know, that might distract people from God, so therefore, you know.
If he was smart, he'd work it into a sermon. But they eventually get to Gabbo, and Gabbo appears! He introduces himself, and then get quite a song and dance number, which I included all of it, because it's delightful.
You gotta like me, you gotta love me, because I can do most anything. I can do the Holly Golly. I can imitate Vince Scully.
Let's take time out from this triple play to talk about Farmer Dan's pure pork sausage.
I'll give out shiny dimes. I'll travel back in time.
You're gonna like him. You're gonna love him. It's the greatest show in town.
Those were jets doing a flyby, by the way. Inside.
Yeah, I always feel like it's somewhat of a ripoff of that big Simpsons opening number where the kick line and everything on the couch. Like, let's just do that, but if it was in a real show.
Well, that is a thing that has been done for decades at this point, at that point even. So it's not that crazy. The flyby by the Jets, I think, is the most interesting thing to me, considering I believe they're in a theater. And are those supposed to be real Jets? That's a question.
Oh, obviously, Robbie. Come on. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. They literally pulled the roof off the theater.
Okay.
Just to, so that the Jets could fly by.
All right. I've already lost our notes. Okay. So we find Gabbo announces that he's on at the same time as Krusty, which Bart and Lisa are a little worried that maybe Gabbo might might usurp Krusty's place as a children's staple, even though it seems not only children are watching Gabbo. It's very strange, because Mayor Quimby references I'm a Bad Little Boy later on. Like, are their audiences overlapping?
Oh, obviously. I mean, I kind of feel like Krusty is one of those shows that everyone watches, even the adults. It's kind of like The Simpsons. And then Gabbo takes his place, so therefore all the adults watched Gabbo.
Okay.
Just makes sense.
It just makes sense. We kind of see the de-evolution of Krusty's show as Gabbo has taken more and more of his viewers away, and Krusty at first is dismissive of Gabbo. He's like, he's buried them all. He's buried, he's particularly proud of burying the Special Olympics.
Well, of course. I mean, how dare they come after him?
Joey Bishop, I believe, he mentions Joey Bishop. But it's Gabbo's winning. And Krusty tries to fight back by bringing his own ventriloquist dummy. Doesn't work out. Doesn't work out very well.
So, you want ventriloquism, do you? All right, watch this. Hello, Alphonse. I've got a riddle for you. Why is a raven like a writing desk? I don't know. Why is a... Hey, the dummy can't hurt you. He's not even alive. He's dead.
Oh, that's such a horrific dummy that Krusty has. My
yes.
God, Alphonse.
Yes, it is.
That's really bad. I think that's Gabbo in a, like a ventriloquist, like I would say like, how does that like suddenly seize like so much popularity? But then I think about Jeff Dunham, who,
I mean, he is a fantastic, oh, I can't even fake that. Yeah, that is just the worst.
He's a very good ventriloquist. I'll say that.
He is.
He's a good ventriloquist. I'm not a fan myself, and I'm not gonna, I try not judge people too much about the things they like. Krusty's stooping to offering to send people $40 to watch his show, which, that's...
Checks will not be honored.
That disclaimer is very important. But finally, we get, I guess, we learn that Itchy and Scratchy has moved over to Gabbo. I guess Gabbo has... We would think they'd have a certain contract, like maybe the contract just ended fortuitously for Gabbo right at that moment, and they switched over. Regardless, Krusty has a new animated show on his, which is called Worker and Parasite from the Soviet Union.
So, here's Eastern Europe's favorite cat and mouse team, Worker and Parasite! What the hell was that?
I especially love the music on that.
It's Matt Groening has gone on record to say that's one of his favorite bits ever. And I agree with him. Worker and Parasite,
I can definitely see why.
Amazing. I love this with my whole heart. There was some talk on the message board about this. Like, if you went to, like, these Eastern European film festivals, you would see these animated shorts that were just like this.
Wow, really?
Really. And the Cyrillic is nonsense, so you can't translate any of the Cyrillic in there. But I absolutely adore Worker and Parasite. I have a shirt that Matt and his wife bought for me for I believe my birthday or Christmas. I forget. It was a gift-giving situation. But this is basically a herald for the end of Krusty. We find out that he has been... How does he act exactly? And it's like with we pan to the crowd and it's empty and the door shuts really, like, sadly. Isn't that what it is? Yeah.
And then they show Krusty in the dressing room showing that he's been canceled.
Yeah. That's
when he goes over all the stuff about we can be proud we never did a bad show, except when Ray J. Johnson was my co-host.
Yes. And that is probably the weirdest thing about this episode is that it's heavily weighted towards the end. It's really weird. Like, the first and second acts are really short, like 5 minutes apiece, while the third act is as long as both of them combined. But it makes sense, I guess. I can't fault them for how they did it. It makes sense in the context of this episode. So, Matt, what happens after we find out Krusty's been canceled?
All right. Well, when we come back, we see that Krusty is going to his fellow celebrities for advice, and his first stop is actually Johnny Carson.
Krusty, how you holding up?
I'm kind of worried about the future. How do you deal with it?
Well, you've been on TV longer than I have. I'm sure you've saved up quite a nest egg.
Yeah. Do they still buy human hair down at the wig shop?
So we can see Krusty has not put any money away because, you know, that's not his style.
It's really not.
That's not what he would do.
It's pretty canonical that he spends money on the most stupidest things. And I do want to note that Johnny says Krusty has been on TV longer than him. Johnny Carson first appeared on television in 1950.
Yeah, Krusty's been on there a long time. Remember, he had his first attempt at laughing when the door wouldn't open. Cost him 10 years.
And later on, they say he's been in show business for 35 years. So that's a little short of what it would be. It would have been 43 years if he had been on television before 1950, 43 plus. So
true.
Come on, Simpsons.
So their math
writers
is a little inconsistent.
Come on. Yeah. I want scientific accuracy here. I do find it delightful that Johnny Carson and Krusty the Clown are peers.
Yeah, they're approximately the same age. But I really liked, as we get towards the end, the difference in physicality between the two. We'll get to that. But Krusty plays tennis with Johnny and gets creamed because Krusty is fat and Johnny Carson is a lean, mean tennis ball hitting machine. He invites Krusty to stay for dinner, and apparently he's having guests, someone from the San Diego Zoo. Someone from the San Diego Zoo.
The San Diego MP3 player?
Exactly. They have one in all of San Diego now.
Microsoft's Zune, very successful. Yes. MP3 players. Everyone has one.
Of course. It destroyed this little thing you might have heard of called the iPod. No one has one of those anymore.
No. Zune crushed them.
But we then see Krusty trying out for Melrose Place and a few other acting gigs, which he is particularly unsuited for thanks to his nose, which we learn is actually one of those little honking noses and not his actual nose this time. That, of course, fails. We then see Krusty at the horse track, betting his last $5 on a horse who comes over to him when he yells at him rather than finishing the race. That's such a huge trope, but I love it every time it happens. It's so funny.
It's good. I don't mind it. It's still funny every time.
Yeah. But after that, we see the Gabbo show. We see Lisa and Bart watching, and they're doing a patented Gabbo crank call.
And now it's time for another patented Gabbo crank call. Oh, I love these.
I can't believe it. He stole this bit from Krusty.
Yeah, well, Krusty stole it from Steve Allen.
Oh, everything's stolen nowadays. Why, the fax machine is nothing but a waffle iron with a phone attached.
It's ringing.
Hello, is this Krusty the Clown?
Is this the callback for that porno film? Look, I was a little nervous that day, but I'm all man. I can assure you.
No, I represent a Japanese camera company. We'd like to pay you $2 million to do a camera commercial.
Whoa! Me reiki very much! I hope I didn't offend you. I need this bad.
Bad enough to hit yourself over the head with the phone?
Whoa, you got it! Go! Go! Blood. What the... if this is anyone but Steve Allen, you're stealing my bit.
So, yeah, good luck with that, Krusty. That was actually a pretty good crank call. No one really got hurt except for Krusty, which is, you know, not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing?
Well, you know, Krusty kind of deserves it because he stole that bit from Steve Allen. So, you know.
Steve Allen.
Anyway, Bart makes the comment that someone should ruin Gabbo's career like Gabbo ruined Krusty's, and he begins to argue with Lisa over two wrongs not making a right, and of course, Homer pipes in to say, oh yes, two wrongs definitely make a right. Otherwise, Homer's lived his life very wrong. Good role models, of course.
Obviously.
Then we see Bart infiltrating the Gabbo show. He sneaks in and manages to distract a cameraman with a bawdy limerick on the men's room wall, just in time to turn the camera on. So everyone gets on who's watching that channel sees Gabbo calling all the kids in Springfield SOBs, which nowadays that would just be like, ah, funny gag reel. But back then, I guess that was a big deal.
In 1993, yeah, honestly. Censors were way more strict in 1993 than they are now.
Of course, there's a controversy, and Kent Brockman gets swept up and fired as part of that, which, you know, that's completely gone by the next episode. But still.
It resets at the end, Matt. We all know that.
That's true. Time goes backwards. It's like Sliders.
Ooh, Sliders, our next podcast.
That would be amazing. But then we see the kids go to find Krusty and find him on the side of the road with a sign that says he'll drop his pants for food, which apparently is not working that great because he has competition from old Jewish man who is apparently doing it for free and singing Old Gray Mare.
And you didn't pull the song, Matt.
I did not. I almost pulled the group version, but it's so short, I didn't feel like it.
Oh, come on, Matt. Old Grand Mare, she ain't what she used to be. Ain't what she used to be. Ain't what she used to be.
And now the crazy old man dancers.
Yes, that's great. It's pretty good. I honestly love the.
Yeah, it's a great bit. We then see Bart and Lisa, you know, they're trying to get Krusty back on his feet, essentially. And like, oh, you've done so much and you know all these awesome people. They find out that Luke Perry is apparently Krusty's half-brother somehow. I guess through the Krusty's mother, who we've never seen, despite having his father in many, many episodes.
That must be it.
Yeah. So.
I mean, he does, they say for, he mentions their mother. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We also see some more jabs at Fox, when, they say that Luke Perry is a big TV star and Krusty is dismissive on Fox. Cause if the Simpsons aren't making fun of Fox, it's a weird episode. But Bart and Lisa see all these celebrities and they get the idea that they're going to help Krusty have a comeback special with all these celebrities. So Krusty is going to, you know, work on his act and get in shape and everything. And Bart and Lisa are going to get the celebrities. And of course, when Krusty turns on the TV, it turns out the crazy old man has gotten his own show, dropping his pants and singing Old Gray Mare. So I guess they can show to anybody.
She ain't what she used to be, Matt.
Well, that's true. But, you know, she's still good. She's still good. And with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we have the absolutely massive Act 3, which is basically we see the kids, both Bart and Lisa, kind of go on this tour of this, going to find these celebrities. We see Bette Midler first. She's cleaning up the highway. She actually had, at that time, a stretch on a California highway that she actually did litter removal on. So you could have found Bette Midler on the side of the road cleaning up litter at this time.
Apparently she's just a great person.
Yeah, that's honestly a good thing to do. She agrees to do it and takes down a litter bug with a can that explodes. Well, not to be fair, the can hits a car and then the car explodes after it runs off the road.
Well, yeah, the car runs off the road and explodes, you know.
As any car that leaves the road does.
That's true. As soon as its tires are off the road, that thing's gone.
We get a tour of the Playboy Mansion, quote unquote, with Hugh Hefner.
It's the Shelbyville Playboy Mansion.
Yes, of course, it's the Shelbyville version of the Playboy Mansion. He is quick to point out that all the scientific achievements that the bunnies work on, like desalinization, and laboratory work.
The grotto uses so much water, Robbie. Of course, they have to have a desalinization plant.
We get Bart in his little. He made out like just like Hugh Hefner with a bubble pipe.
This is a return of the one we saw in the New Kid on the Block. That's the bubble pipe and smoking jacket.
Yeah, so a callback, and they actually got Hugh Hefner for it. So that's pretty cool. I'm a little torn how I feel about the legacy of Playboy magazine, but Hugh Hefner's a cool guy. We then see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They are having an argument with Mo.
You told our agent this place holds 30,000 people.
It does. We had 30,000 here last night. Now play. The audience is getting restless.
We want Chili Willy. We want Chili Willy.
Hey, Red Hot Chili Peppers, would you guys like to appear on a Krusty the Clown special?
Sure, you can get us out of this gig.
No problemo. Hey, Mo, look over there.
What am I looking at? I don't see nothing. I'm gonna stop looking soon. What? What is that it?
Hey, Mo, can I look too?
Sure, but it'll cost you.
My wallet's in the car.
He is so stupid. And now back to the wall.
It's true, he really is stupid. Well, he's stupider than Mo, at least.
All four members of the Red Hot Chili Peppers can be heard at certain points of this, including Anthony Kiedis, Flea, Chad Smith, the drummer who looks like Will Ferrell, and the guitarist we hear is Eric Marshall, who was only a touring guitarist with the band at this time. He had never recorded any albums with the band. He was a replacement for John Frusciante, and then he himself was eventually replaced by another guitarist who was eventually replaced by Dave Navarro. And then they've had lots of guitarists. But I think that's funny that their iconic Simpsons guest spot, their guitarist, is the dude that is only touring with them for a few years. They go to see Elizabeth Taylor, but her doorman just, or agent turns them down. Like, is that supposed to be her agent is answering her door?
I kind of felt like it was more her doorman. Yeah, but she calls him, I gotta fire that agent later on. Yeah. So maybe it is her agent. He just hangs around her house and answers her door for her.
Is Elizabeth Taylor. She's, you know, pretty swanky. She probably could afford that.
That's true.
But they don't need to do it for Luke Perry because he's, Krusty's brother, right? They don't actually.
Exactly.
You know, they don't actually have to go seek him out. Luke Perry's honestly pretty, interested and excited about working with Krusty. Like, he wants to help Krusty. They come
That's
back
true.
To.
He's doing it for mom.
Doing it for mom. They come back to Krusty, tell him who they've got and all this, the plans and stuff. But Krusty is, like, hugely fat, apparently from eating milkshakes because he thought that, you know, there's the regular milkshakes and the special diet milkshakes are the same. Meal replacement milkshakes.
I wish.
That'd be great. Meal replacement milkshakes, not nearly as good as real milkshakes. We do get Krusty exercising with Marge in they're wearing the symmetry with their weird hair poking out all over the place and their like early 90s, spandex outfits. It's a pretty fun sequence. We get rehearsal with Luke Perry. Luke Perry is serving as Sideshow Luke Perry because Sideshow Mel is taking a job as a cashier at the Gulp and Blow. And
well, yeah, he gets respected there.
We do see Mel come back later, which is a reference to, make sure I got this right. No, I have it. It's on when Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin reunites on the MDA telethon in 1976. It is a reference to that. This whole comeback special is a reference to the Elvis comeback special in 1968. Have you ever watched that, Matt?
Makes sense. I have not, but the Krusty Elvis connection is quite well founded. Everyone knows about that.
Everyone. But we see Luke Perry do a carousel? It's pretty amazing balloon animal, honestly. It's pretty awesome. Krusty also sits down and has a conversation with the Chili Peppers about their lyrics.
Now, boys, the network has a problem with some of your lyrics. Would you mind changing them for the show?
Forget you, clown.
Hey, our lyrics are like our children, man. No way.
Well, okay. But here will you say, what I got, you gotta get and put it in you? How about just, what I'd like is I'd like to hug and kiss you.
Wow, that's much better.
Everyone can enjoy that.
I don't know if you guys know, it's a reference to The Doors, Jim Morrison appearing on the old Ed Sullivan show. They wanted to change the lyrics to Light My Fire. Jim Morrison famously did not change the lyrics and sang them the way they originally are and was banned from television, basically. And Chili Peppers happily accept to change their lyrics, apparently. We don't hear the new lyrics, but... they do indeed sing Give It Away at a later date in their underwear. This is 2 years after Give It Away has, you know, come out as it was a hit single. So, you know, it's pretty close. I mean, music shifted slower back in the early in before the internet.
Yeah.
You get hit songs lasted. They were hits longer. We see the return of Sideshow Mel. We see Luke Perry shot from a cannon. This has been a trivia question, Matt. What are the things he shot through again?
Let's see. There's a sandpaper factory, the acid display at the Quickie Mart, and I believe he lands in the pillow factory and has it imploded on top of him.
Yes, poor Luke Carey. We see him at the end of the episode with a bandage.
He's fine, though.
So he's fine. Audio doesn't necessarily do it justice, but I did capture Johnny Carson's performance.
Now, Johnny, what you got for us? Some jokes? A little magic?
Actually, I thought I'd lift this 1987 Buick Skylark over my head.
Hi-yo! Johnny, that's amazing!
Oh, yeah? Get a load of this.
L'amour est un oiseau rebelle qui nul ne peut apprivoiser. Et c'est bien avec qu'on l'appelle.
So, Matt, do you know what opera that is from?
I do not.
Carmen.
Sounds like a good one.
It's from Carmen.
Oh, makes sense.
One of the most famous operas. We see Bette Midler sing The Wind Beneath My Wings with Krusty. Krusty's voice is not as good as Bette Midler's.
Not even close.
unfortunately. But, you know, Bette Miller does a great job. All the guest stars in this do great jobs. Like, they're playing themselves for the most part, like, or exaggerated versions of themselves. But it's really good. Another reference, Bette. This is funny enough. The song, the way that Bette Midler sang to Krusty is the way she sang to Johnny Carson on Johnny Carson's next to last Tonight Show. Which is strange because, you know, Johnny Carson is on the episode. So, like, it's a weird kind of synchronicity there. Elizabeth Taylor was watching as Hugh Hefner is playing a song on crystal glasses. You fill them up with different amounts of water, and then they make different tones. The episode ends at Moe's. It's a celebration. Like, I guess the special is done well. They know that already.
I guess so. The numbers came in quick.
Yeah, but everyone's there. They're all kind of having fun. Hugh Hefner gets cold fish on the love tester. That's a fun little gag. It's so quick, but when the Red Hot Chili Peppers come in, they all say hey to Moe, and then Flea yells, "Hey, Moe!" Like, really loud. Apparently, like, they weren't ready for that when they recorded him, but they loved it so much they kept it.
That's awesome.
It's so good. The episode ends with a toast to Krusty.
To Krusty, the greatest entertainer in the world. Except maybe that guy.
Is this the bus to the Civic Center?
You just can't beat Johnny Carson.
You can't beat Johnny Carson. A great episode, Matt. It's well regarded. It's very, like, they mentioned that it's that they wanted to do the same thing they did with Homer at the Bat, but with celebrities. I think it works out a little bit better than Homer at the Bat simply because they're more recognizable than, you know, baseball players. Not everyone knows those baseball players. Everyone kind of knows these figures. That's a weird thing about it is that a lot of these, like, Johnny Carson, like, is not, you ask a teenager today, do they know who Johnny Carson is?
Probably not.
Or Bette Midler, for that matter. Or, I mean, even Luke Perry. Luke Perry's not famous anymore. He was famous in the 90s. He was also in The Fifth Element. Very briefly.
Wait, he was in The Fifth Element? Really?
In the opening sequence in Egypt.
Oh, yeah. Holy crap. How did I never realize that? Sorry, go on.
Yeah, but a lot, I mean, Red Hot Chili Peppers are really, and Hugh Hefner, I mean, just because Playboy is a thing that's still there, even though it's lost a lot of its kind of relevancy, but
yeah.
Red Hot Chili Peppers is the only band that are still kind of, Elizabeth Taylor is, you know, famous, she'll be famous forever, but still, you know, she's passed, and none of them are, like, current, so to speak, and I think that's a strange thing that it's a nice nostalgia thing for me. You watch this episode? Because as a kid, this is how I learned about these people. Like, I wasn't old enough.
Except for Luke Perry, I had no idea who any of these people were.
Yeah, I wasn't old enough to know who Johnny Carson was or Bette Midler. But then I watched, I loved The Simpsons. So it was kind of relevant because they became relevant in my eyes because they were on The Simpsons. I'm like, oh, I need to find, who are these people? They're cool. It's an interesting thing. I don't know. It's really solid. I'm interested to see where we rank it because I don't know. We'll talk about it more, right, Matt? Talk it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing one of the things I wanted to bring up is heavily on we've talked about it before about guest stars in The Simpsons and how they tend to do better when they're not playing themselves. But in this particular case, I think that doesn't quite apply because the whole reason they're on the show is they're playing themselves and a bit for someone else. So they're not really playing themselves so much as they're playing a fictionalized version of themselves, which is it's very splitting hairs, but it tends to work a lot better than, you know, other episodes, the Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger episode.
Well, I don't know. It works well in this because, like, hey, these people are clearly celebrities. And the reason they're on this show, on Krusty's show, his comeback special, because they're celebrities, because they're big names. And, you know, they kind of are, they are all of these, everyone, like, in, like, all of these people, like, they had very definitive kind of public personas, and still do, and they tweak them in really interesting and fun ways. Alec Baldwin does not have a fun public persona that, like, I he leaves horrible voicemails. And he's a fine actor, but I don't like, that's all I have no opinion about that. Like at the time, like Johnny Carson and Hugh Hefner, Bette Midler, Luke Perry, they all had very like identifiable things. And The Simpsons took all those little things and made them, you know, and turned them on their head just a little bit. But it's great. We do have a My Favorite Episode submission for this, Matt.
What? Finally.
All right. Well, it's a very good one, so I can understand it. This is from Bryant, a longtime fan of the show. His answer, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit because we've already mentioned a lot of the gags that he's going to reference, but I will otherwise read it wholesale. Hi, Robbie and Matt. When it comes to My Favorite Episode of The Simpsons, it has to be Krusty Gets Canceled. Really, the opening bit with The Simpsons' take on Hollywood Squares set the tone for the rest of the episode. Ludicrous and hilarious. Some of my favorite gags. Bart about Gabba. Oh, that cute little character could take America by storm. All he needs is a hook. And Gabba says, I'm a bad little boy. And then Bart responds, I carumba. Which I almost pulled that. That's really good. It's really good. I love whenever the Simpsons poke at, this is me, whenever the Simpsons poke at their own catchphrases, I think it's really funny. He mentions Krusty's attempt at ventriloquism, which I pulled. Also Worker and Parasite, which I also pulled. The bit with Johnny Carson. All these things. Krusty at the horse track. The prank call. I think we're right on par with Bryant's answer because we pulled all these clips. Kent Brockman on the SOB Gabbo gaffe, with Brockman repeating Gabbo's that, hold those little SOBs. The old gray mare dancing, Bette Midler and the littering, Red Hot Chili Peppers with Moe looking at the wall, Krusty hitting Homer, with a piping hot pie, Krusty being inspired by Gabbo to beat up Homer when they're exercising, the balloon animal bit with Krusty and Luke Perry, Gabbo's being sad about Krusty having all these celebrities. I don't like it. He's got Johnny Carson, Bette Midler, and Hugh Hefner. What if we've got Ray J. Johnson? And then Gabbo's head. Johnny Carson's. Telling Krusty you better save his money this time, and Krusty at that time is delivered a ruby studded clown nose. And Krusty being angry at the kids for receiving 50% of the t-shirt sales.
Well, that's where all the big money comes from, obviously.
Pretty good. Ryan ends. Really, this episode is so great because it's extremely focused. I suppose I would like to know what happens to Gabbo and Arthur, but beyond that, it's flawless in my estimation. Every scene, literally every scene, is a gag. They're all hilarious, even more numerous than I mentioned here. There's hardly any exposition or story development. It's just someone has beaten Krusty. Krusty has to pull himself up. Krusty wins. Hope you guys rate this episode high. For nothing else, and all the kids having to ask their mom what an SOB was. Parentheses, I was six. I was six when this aired. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
So. Thank you so much for that submission. I couldn't agree more. This is a great episode.
It's very, very good. Where was I? So with that, it is time for our next segment. It's time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
I mentioned this earlier, but let's see. Set up the segment first. Comments from the news group is where I will go to the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, which was active at the time, pull out stuff that was going on during the time period when the episode was airing, the week or two or surrounding. This is in response to that Hollywood Squares / Springfield Squares bit. We see Charlie Weaver there, get washed away, and Homer, like, he's dead now, kind of Homer commenting that. Well, apparently, Hollywood Squares often would tape their shows so far in advance that panelists that have died in the intervening time would still be on new episodes.
That is hilarious to think of. I know it's kind of morbid, but it's just like, this is a new episode this week. Sure it is, guys. Sure.
And that's, I find that delightful. There's also, of course, the usual belly aching and people complaining that this episode only had a few good things. people on the internet, little critical.
Yeah,
it happens. But that's about it.
They restarted a tradition. Darn it.
Yeah, usual stuff. But I don't need to comment on all the people commenting about where Springfield is every single week. So on to our next segment. It's time for our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number. Yellow?
KBBL is gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite moment involving the law? Tons of great answers. And lots of I wasn't really wasn't expecting whatsoever. It's pretty awesome. How much you guys participate. I really appreciate it. I wish I had time to read all of them. First, we have from Brian on Twitter at Brianophile. Yeah, right, Mr. An Elephant. Yeah, right, buddy. Liquor store Robbie. Officer down. Sure. And I'm Edward G. Robinson. That's pretty good.
Sorry.
your laughing is what fills my heart with joy, Matt. Brandon at Bizarro DF. Quote, we can only enforce the last law passed. Not the best system. In fact, it's pretty much the worst. Hashtag you live, hashtag you die. Scott at Pure Cromulence. Very good Twitter handle. Free motorboats. The cops beating up Snake and then busting Homer. That's pretty good. I'm fairly certain that's isn't that illegal? Free motorboats thing, Matt? I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
That's a good question. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure for sweepstakes and those sorts of things, you have to actually follow through. So maybe it's worth it to get a crazy murderer. If when he gets out of jail, you have to give him a motorboat.
We have Mr. Eras at D here. Favorite law moment probably be Springfield Cops theme song. The faux reggae is awesome. Bad cops. What you gonna do? Oh, we have Izzy at Izzy Steak Fries. What episode is that? Regardless, quote, call in a code 8, Lou. We need pretzels. Repeat, pretzels. And we'll see Zach. Marge joining the Springfield PD and Springfield Connection. Love training montage. Just how comically corrupt Springfield's police force is. Everywhere I look, someone's breaking the law. Dog, no leash. Man littering, horse not wearing diaper, car parked across three handicapped spaces, and then Homer! She sees Homer. I really love that moment. I even commented on that on our Facebook. Brian, I love when Quimby and Wiggum go over the town charter and discover out-of-date laws. Example that comes to mind in Marge vs. Monroe, and they discover that the police chief is entitled to a pig every month, along with two comely lasses of virtue true. Old Springfield laws are the best. Jessica, there are so many for me. I'm a law student who's working on compiling all of the jurisprudence essays about The Simpsons and law. Pretty awesome. But for me, one of my all-time favorite moments in the show is in Screaming Yellow Honkers when Chief Wiggum is talking Marge off the bridge. Spawns something my husband says to me a lot. Why are the pretty ones always insane?
I gotta remember that one.
We have Christopher, Chris. Everything Beer Baron. Hands down. Simple and to the point. Really good.
Have to agree there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. David, when Chief Wiggum discovers it is also legal to put squirrels down your pants for the purposes of gambling, and immediately must stop those officers from doing this exact deed, because why would you want not to gamble in this perfect way? And finally, from Rob, the most popular answer by far. I don't know if it was double digits, but I had a lot. Bake them away, toys. What, Chief? Do what the kids say.
Oh, Cape Fear. I can't wait till we get to you.
God, Cape Fear is so good. Matt, what is your answer? I think I know, but tell me.
I'm going to have to go with the Springfield Connection, and in the end, when the cops take the counterfeit jeans and Marge has to quit because of corruption.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no evidence.
No evidence. Where is it? Yes. Car hole, Matt.
Car hole, exactly.
Oh, la-di-da. Garage.
It's a Frenchman.
Yeah. My answer is Homer versus 18th Amendment, but just the debate about right at the end when Homer just married. Oh, I found a further amendment to this that it got repealed.
199 years ago.
After Rex Banner gets thrown with a catapult, conveniently. But it's, yes, that. I think that episode is really, like, if anything, that is particularly about the ridiculousness of our law and legal system.
Especially vice laws in general.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Jeez. Next week's question, we are done with season 4 after this episode, so what is your favorite moment from season 4? It's a tough one to pick, because there's tons of them. There's tons of iconic stuff. So good.
It contains our number one at the moment.
It does contain our number one episode at the moment. So interesting to see what you guys pick. There's so many good choices. Even the episodes that we haven't ranked very highly have good, like, one, like, things in them that are really great. Mm-hmm. I will post this question on all our social media on our Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. Again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. I'll post all those places. You can go there. I also post occasional links to Simpsons stuff and stuff like that. So join the discussion. Is that the buzzy thing you're supposed to tell people? But with that, it is time for our No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring three trivia questions and try and stump the other. One easy, one medium, and one hard question. Starting next episode, we're going to have a little competition going on, but I'll let you guys tune in next week for more on that. I will start us off this week, Matt. We didn't have an official theme suggestion, but I did my own. Not subtle.
Oh, really?
Not subtle.
Do I get to know the theme ahead of time?
It is guest stars. I'll tell you right now.
Ooh, okay.
My easy question for you. Who or what two guest stars appeared under their pseudonyms with bonus points if you can name the pseudonyms?
Let's see. Michael Jackson, I believe, was John Jay. And Dustin Hoffman was, I can't remember his pseudonym.
Michael Jackson was John J. Smith.
John J. Smith.
Dustin Hoffman was Sam Edick.
Sam Edick, that's right.
Because Semitic. Ha ha ha. Because Dustin Hoffman is Jewish. Give me an easy question, Matt.
All right, your easy question. In Homer the Heretic, Homer is saved from his house burning down by a number of Springfield residents. Name one of them.
Flanders.
There you go.
And a poo.
Flanders shows
Krusty,
up. Poo, Barney, Moe, yeah. Chief Wiggum.
Krusty has a cat on him. Save Snowball.
He saved the cat.
He saves the cat. Cat also attacks him.
Well, you know, cats have a tough time showing, you know, thankfulness. That's the best they can do.
I have been scratched by a cat I have saved. So, I understand. Ready for your medium question, Matt?
I am ready. Hit me.
Phil Hartman has famously guest starred the most times. Kelsey Grammer guest starred the third most times. Who has guest starred the second most times with bonus points for the amount of times they have guest starred?
Yeah, I'm not going to get the amount. I would look at the person.
You can figure out the person. You won't. I know you won't get the amount, but I just wanted to throw it in there.
I'm going to say John Lovitz.
Incorrect.
Oh.
He's probably in the top 10, but the second the number surprised me because he has appeared a lot since the, you know, the golden years, so to speak. But Joe Montana as Fat Tony, second
does
most.
I guess he does count as a guest star, doesn't he?
He does. He has guest starred 27 times as of the time of this recording.
Well, didn't he die recently?
Joe Montana? No, he's fine. He's appearing on a TV show, I think, soon, or he's on Amazon, some new show.
Maybe I'm confusing Fat Tony's death with his death.
They're not the same, Matt. I just want to make that clear. When a fictional character dies, the actor does not die in real life. This is...
Well, they immediately replaced him with Fit Tony, so, you know. I'm pretty sure he's voiced by the same person. So.
Give me my medium question.
All right, your medium question. What show was taped over the surgery Dr. Nick tries to watch in Homer's Triple Bypass?
I'm not sure if I can name the exact name, but it's like People That Look Like Things?
Yes, People Who Look Like Things is the name of the show.
Oh, okay. I was just describing it, but that was also the title.
Yes, the pumpkin and the candle and all sorts of fun things.
Okay, Matt, your hard question.
Oh, man.
What three guest stars have won Emmys for their appearances?
Oh, wow. I'm going to go with the easy answers and say Kelsey Grammer.
Okay.
And is it three?
There's two more. I'll tell you that Kelsey Grammer is right. I'll even go that far.
All right.
You need two more.
Kelsey Grammer. I don't think Phil Hartman ever did.
Can neither confirm or deny. So you name two names and tell me that they're fine. I already gave you a bone by telling you Kelsey Grammer's right.
That's true. I'm going to say Joe Mantegna since he was the second most.
Okay. What's your third answer?
And third answer. Let's go with Phil Hartman.
So the people who have appeared the most times are the ones who have
I'm playing the odds here.
Well, you were right with Kelsey Grammer. Phil Hartman and Joe Montana have not won for their appearances. We have mentioned all three of these previously, I don't think ever at one time. The other two, aside from Kelsey Grammer, is Jackie Mason for Herschel for playing Krusty's father, and Anne Hathaway. She also...
That's weird. I saw that episode and it was good, but I don't know if it was Emmy worthy.
The Emmys do not necessarily equal quality, Matt, as most award shows are very emblematic of. Okay, Matt, give me a hard question.
All right. Your hard question. What song does Lenny ask Lisa to play in Last Exit to Springfield?
Classical Gas.
Oh, man, you nailed that.
We just did it.
I know, but I didn't know if you paid that close of attention.
It's like four episodes ago. This is the things I remember the most of, the ones we just did. It's the old stuff that all this new information is pushing out is the stuff I forget. So I'm victorious, yet again. I am so smart. SMRT. Matt is a big dummy, but I'm going to give you a couple more questions. Try and redeem yourself, Matt. How about that?
Ooh, okay.
These are, make sure I have the person's name right. So I just had this information in front of me and I've already forgotten it. From Jessica. These are from Jessica. We have done a theme that, she has, was using, which is about Simpsons animals, pets, so to speak. But, she had some questions we did not use. So I thought I'd throw them at you. First off, Matt, what is the name of Milhouse's dog toy?
Puppy Goo Goo.
That is correct. Second, this is a hard one. The ladies last two, she leveled hard and they are hard. What is the name of the police dog that attacks Homer in Moe's in There's No Disgrace Like Home?
I have no idea. Damn.
Bobo.
Bobo. Damn it. I was thinking Officer Scraps, but that's the bloodhound from later on.
Yeah. Her final question for you. If you get this one, hats off, but you've been watching the more... this isn't actually that. I mean, okay. In Aqualia, what is the name of the magical creature with the horns?
The magical creature with the horns?
Mm-hmm.
No idea.
No idea?
The magical creature with the horns? Nope. Nothing. Nothing is coming to mind at all.
Lisa the Drama Queen, name of the episode?
Mm-hmm.
Season 20?
I remember the episode very well. I mean, Lisa and a friend create this random world, and right. they go off there all the time.
What? Okay, the unicorn has two horns.
So it's a bicorn?
A tunicorn, Matt.
It is tunicorn.
It's a tunicorn.
Hey, bicorn would work as well.
It's not punny, so it's automatically inferior.
Aw, nerds.
Yeah. But thank you, Jessica, for those questions. I still have some in the backlog from people who've submitted, but if you'd like to submit more a theme or more trivia questions to me, you can reach out to any of those places I mentioned earlier. Love to hear them. Love to use them. Makes my life easier because I don't have to think of so many up. Right, Matt?
That's true. And I enjoy learning new things when I get them wrong. Yeah. So make them hard, guys.
It's an education. With that, it's time for our final segment we win every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is part show where Matt, I rank the episodes categorically so we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is a good episode, Matt. It's very good, even. It's very tight. I think the only downfall is that it doesn't have a bunch of emotional content other than kind of the crusty, little bit of the crusty sadness stuff.
See, I feel like that's a pretty important part of the episode is Krusty's arc from being on top to like falling down into the gutter and the Simpsons bringing him back. So it's not a very emotional episode in terms of the core family, but it's an emotional episode for Krusty.
And it is hilarious.
Absolutely.
Tight, tense, packed with jokes.
True, and I think like you said, this is like Homer at the Bat, but better, because the celebrities they're entertainers, so they're designed to be hilarious.
Yeah, they're not just baseball players, even though the baseball players did an excellent job in Homer at the Bat.
They did.
I was looking, you tell me, I was thinking probably in the later part of the top 10. Maybe 7th? I was thinking, I'm not sure if it's better than Homer the Heretic. That's where I was looking. Either like I think it's better than Bart's Gets Enough. I think it's better than that. I don't know if it's better than Homer the Heretic. Where were you looking, Matt?
I don't know. I'm not sure I can even say it's better than I Love Lisa, because, really? I mean, that's a fantastic episode.
I know, but this is so much funnier than I Love Lisa.
I know. I was actually looking around the same area. I don't know. Homer the Heretic, that's a tough hill to get over, and it only gets worse from there. were better from there, I should say.
Well, harder, tougher competition.
That, yes, that's what I was going for. Better than Bart gets an F.
I think it is. Bart gets an F
is
probably the first great episode, I would say. Like, it's the first episode of season two. I think it's the first great episode, but its animation is still a little shoddy. Like, it's a little, they're obviously still kind of getting to the point where the animation is fairly standard. It's really heavy on emotional stuff. It's funny. I don't think it's as funny as this. I think this is just a tighter episode. I hesitate to put it, like Homer the Redick is saying stuff, like is really actually a thinker, which I'm in kind of disposed to like more than just like a great episode, but a great episode that's mainly just a bunch of gags, not necessarily like about a thing as much as Homer the Redick.
That's true. I feel like this episode has a little bit of that as well. It has the message, save your money if you're in entertainment. but it's not quite the important message that Homer the Heretic is.
No.
I don't think it's as good as Homer the Heretic. It's tight. One of the things I really enjoyed about this episode is how every moment is filled with something interesting. There's no slowdown. They say it about action movies all the time, but this episode like clamps down on your attention and won't let you go until the end, as long as you skip the commercials. Every moment of the episode is filled with something funny or interesting or important to the plot.
Yeah.
And I feel like Bart Gets an F has a few places where it lags. Homer the Heretic is more like this episode where it doesn't. So I think 8's a good spot for it.
I agree, Matt. I agree that you should agree with me. I think it's a good spot for it. Our top 10 is ridiculous at this point. That puts Krusty Gets Canceled at number 8. Typing it right now with Marge vs. Monorail number 1 and last place at number 80, Homer's Odyssey. That leaves our top 10 right now, end of season 4 as it's standing. Marge vs. Monorail, Lisa's Substitute, Black Widower, I Married Marge, Last Exit to Springfield, Mr. Plow, Homer the Heretic, Krusty Gets Canceled, Bart Gets an F, and The Way We Was. That's crazy. Oof. Those are crazy. Yeah, all those episodes are so good, and we are only getting, like, it's starting, like, season 5 is, I would put it on par with season 4. It's so, there's so many great episodes. What is our first episode of season 5, Matt?
Let's see. I don't get the name right. Season 5. What's it going to be? Oh, that's right. Homer's Barbershop Quartet. The B-sharps are upon us at last.
The B-sharps. You know what happens after that, Matt?
What happens after that?
Cape Fear.
Oh my gosh.
Episode 2.
Then Homer goes to college. And then Rosebud.
Rosebud, Trias Parr. Oh my Bart.
Marge on the Lam. Boy Scouts in the Hood. Oh.
Homer the Vigilante. Deep Space Homer. So many good episodes in season 5. I'm so excited.
Bart gets an elephant.
Stampy. So stay tuned for that, guys. Season 5 coming up. And we're going to have a little competition between the two of us. I'm going to talk about that more next week. Hopefully, I'm trying to get a guest for our next episode, see if we can arrange for that. You can find this list at our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. It has new episodes, downloadable and streaming, links to all our social media, to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed. You can links to the Patreon as well if you'd like to support us. Of course, we appreciate that. If you think the show is worth a dollar or two, please, it helps us out.
That's true. And you can make Robbie work more, which is important. Doesn't work nearly enough.
No, I don't work nearly enough. You can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Serial. That's MixmasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com and iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of subscriber on Patreon. You will not find
That's true. That's true. This week I will be crawling under a rock to avoid the upcoming football season, because for me all that means is more work. So if you guys need me, just start kicking rocks over.
It'd have to be a pretty big rock.
It would, so good luck pushing it over.
With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the episodes.
Shh.